We'll do it live. We'll do it live. Fuck it. We'll do it live.
Good evening, everybody. Whoa, there's Lynn out of the gate, as usual, firing Tuesday, November.
Well, when you said we'll go live, I kept thinking of Bill O'Reilly.
Oh,
fuck
I know.
We'll do it live.
I know. Wow. Tuesday, November the 7th, 2023. Fakeologist show. We do this show Sunday through Thursday around 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Toronto time, New York City time. And I missed last night. I came home from work too late and just basically drove my car right into bed. I just had no energy. This low light sun going down at 5 o'clock really throws me for a loop. And the wind is blowing cold tonight. We're going below freezing here. So all these things just tend to wipe me out. And of course, as you get older, you have less tolerance for all this. And I don't know, I guess that's why we only have a certain amount of years we can work, because after a certain period of time, you just get worn out or fed up or both. But anyway, let's not dwell on that. This is the Fakeologist Show, and we talk about media fakery. And Tuesday is our regular Lynn or Tell night, so this is pretty much the Lynn or Tell show. One of your fans was saying, when is the Lynn or Tell show on? I said, she already has a show. Do we have to name it as such?
That's right.
Well, this is your show. I try and back off as much as possible. But you told me to steer you when I thought you got off track.
Yeah, yank on my leash. Survey what people are observing in the chat room. You know, do you still have the Discord server, or did they take that away from you?
Nothing has been shut down, and I've been pretty good. But yeah, Discord. Yeah, you guys could comment in the Discord server. I mean, the problem with Discord is it's always updating every 2 minutes, and sometimes when it updates, it brings down my audio server. Is it still the latest thing to use Discord? I don't even know.
For a while, it was, very fashionable. People were using it, but
yeah.
Tim Osmond of IPS, he sees it as a cyber herding operation.
He's so right.
Cyber herding, how it's the whole idea of, you get all the freedom of speech you want, but no freedom of reach. can see what you say, like shadow banning. You can see what you say, but we'll make sure nobody else sees it.
That's right. Are you back on the Facebook Fakeologist page yet?
Yeah, I just they basically put me in like a 7-day lockdown.
Yeah,
but the lockdown once again. Yeah, but the weird thing is, the lockdown didn't stop me from posting on individual timelines.
Yes,
of friends. It just wouldn't let me post in any groups. And not only that, it would let me like something in a group, but I couldn't comment or post anything. Even in Fakeologists and Fakeologists too, it wouldn't let me post. So that's really, you can see they've refined. Because originally when I started getting, this is about fifth or sixth time they've locked me down kind of.
Yeah.
When they originally locked me down, they simply said, that's it. You can't do anything. Can't post anything for like a month, but I see what they're doing here. They're refining it, because remember, if they shut you down completely, then they can't surveil you. They can't monitor you. And more important, they can't track your network.
Yeah.
Right. If I've got a network, if I've got like 20, 30 friends and I'm in like maybe 20 or 30 groups, if they cut me out, if they basically say you can't post or if you can't do anything on Facebook, well, then, you'll just go in and you read things, you look at things, you won't post anything. But in a way, it's like you're no longer a target for monitoring. They can't monitor anything. They can't surveil anything. They want to see what's going on. They want to measure things.
Well, for us, they want to see what the smart people are thinking. So they really want to know what you're thinking and if you're registering their crap.
Back in 2006, 2007, I came across a paper, a graduate from the Naval Postgraduate School. And it was, the title of it was Cyber Herding. And it basically explained a scheme where they would set up dummy websites. And now this thing, its ostensible purpose was to because of 9/11, we have to confront jihadis on the web, Islamists. That was the drift of this thing. That was what it was arguing. And it had a whole strategy for doing this. And that involves setting up dummy websites and trying to lure Islamists into these websites. And then at a certain point, when you've gotten all the information you needed, then you just destroy all that. You just vandalize. You destroy everything. You just shut it all down.
Yeah.
And or you might leave some of it open, depending on what you were looking for. And they had different kinds of, there was like two or three different kinds of nodes that you would set up. One was called a construction node. And that was where you basically are putting up a simulation. You're faking it. You're putting up a simulation of an Islamist site so you can attract people. And then there was, what else? There was a surveillance node, which is where you hooked in all the people that you were tracking. And he has a whole scheme for it. And it's called cyber herding. And that's exactly what they're doing with the combination with the sort of partial censorship. Well, we'll censor you here, but not there. And we'll let you do this, but not that. And that's all they're doing. They're refining it. Cyber herding. And that's what Tim Osmond thinks was going on with both Rumble and Discord, right?
Yeah.
That they were set up to kind of lure people like us in, the people that they knew that they know there's a certain section of the population that will continue to live with YouTube no matter how heavily YouTube is censored. But then they knew there was a whole crop of people that were seeing some of their favorite creators kicked off YouTube. And so where were they going to go? Well, they might go to Vimeo. They might go to BitChute. You know, there aren't all that many. There was Google Video for a while. I don't know if that's still out. I guess they're still
there. No, I think that's gone.
Is that gone?
I think so.
But obviously, they have to track the people who aren't going to waste time worried about YouTube censorship are going to go ahead and try to find another platform. And I believed from the very beginning that that's what BitChute was set up for, to take the overflow.
Well, it's already censoring, I guess, under the guise of EU rules. Certain channels, Fake Nukes Phil is blocked in the EU, but
I actually got to his stuff on BitChute, but you're saying in the EU they can't do that.
Yeah, they can get to BitChute, but they can't get to his channel. So certain channels are censored outright. And
that's got to be the 77th Brigade, I think, because BitChute is operated out of the UK, right?
That's what I'm told. I just want to shout out to the latest three donors. They're all anonymous. And it's funny because I didn't realize that I could set the donations to anonymous. So that's an oversight on my behalf. So ever since I got the anonymous feature working, the donations are coming in. So apparently nobody wants to be given credit, which I'm fine with. But
their IP address will still be, I mean, is it really possible to donate anonymously anywhere?
Well, with cryptocurrency, and that's what we were talking about with Epic Cash. Okay. Yeah, I mean, there's no way you can figure it out for the privacy coins. Maybe for Bitcoin, you could figure it out a little bit.
Right, but not for something like Epic Cash.
No, there's no way. Yeah. But you know what? I don't have your name or email. Well, actually, that's not true. I have your email that comes through, but I mean,
the thing is, mm-hmm. Why would anybody care? I mean, I understand people ought to have the right to post anonymously, but why would you care at this point? You know, like really?
Yeah, exactly. But people.
Well, there are people. I'll tell you where this arises.
Yeah.
And this gets right into one of the topics we're probably going to broach this evening. That's this whole business in Gaza.
Yeah.
Or rather, the blowback that's occurring around the world, but especially here in the United States.
Yes.
On college campuses.
Yes.
From people who are naturally inclined to sympathize with the Palestinians because they see this 800-pound gorilla Israel bombing Gaza. They're seeing all this. And it's quite natural that I understand a huge crowd of I would say people who are sympathetic who are critical of Israel and sympathetic to the Palestinians in Gaza, gathered in front of the White House. And I understand a lot of crazy stuff went on there, too. But that was probably
all around the world that's happening.
Yeah. Yeah. And the thing is, when you repress dissent,
you just
you're
inflame
probably
it.
Encourage it.
Yeah, you're inflaming it. Yeah.
You're inflaming it, really. And now what's happened is this. Now, this is going to get really dicey. And I have a whole thread on this.
Okay.
I like to keep things in one thread, you know.
Yeah, you says who funds Palestine?
Right.
Legal.
Right. Yeah. You get into that down at the bottom. I might have a link from the Occidental Observer. Occidental Observer. I don't use terms like white nationalist. I don't like that. I call them pan-Europeans. As some people call them Nazis. They're not Nazis. Some of them admire the Third Reich, the policies of the Third Reich, but I call them pan-Europeans. And one of the leading intellectuals among the pan-Europeans is this professor, Kevin MacDonald, who's written about Jews, basically, for the last 30 or 40
years.
Yes,
John Friend talks about
with him. And he publishes a periodical called the Occidental Observer. And I read that as a sort of that's one of the things on the, I guess you would say, on the right that I read. But, you know, and in it, there's a piece. I posted a link to a piece called The Jews Declare War on America.
Yeah, I see that.
Right. And he enumerates in his article all of these billionaires, including one who was associated with formerly was sort of subsidizing Jeffrey Epstein. And that would be a guy named Leslie Wexner. Who, by the way, owns a lot of companies, but he owns Victoria's Secret for one, which is interesting from a PSYOP point of view, because they use Victoria's Secret to advance, you know, as Mr. E would say, they're all gender PSYOP.
Yeah, they're all guys.
So, yeah, Wexner, not all of them, but probably some of them. Wexner, Wexner is a big financial guy from Columbus, Ohio. He's all mobbed up.
Wow.
But anyway, he's a major, he and other billionaires, I guess we didn't realize, folks, you got to realize out there, I don't know how many of you are planning on going to college or you've been to college, but the major universities, especially the big name universities and the top Ivy League schools,
yeah,
are so dependent on their donors, on their endowments, and I would have to say
they're some of the biggest investment funds in the world are the endowment funds.
Oh yeah. And a lot of these very, very wealthy, powerful Jews who run these hedge funds, you know, who make these donations. Well, at Harvard, for example, I guess they sent a letter to the president of Harvard saying this is unacceptable. We can't have students on your campus. Basically, if you criticize the Zionists, if you express any sympathy for the plight of the Palestinians, you're an anti-Semite. That's
right.
It, right?
Right.
Can't criticize Israel, you're an anti-Semite. You know, like, to criticize Israel, you hate Jews. But what about the Jews who don't like Israel? Ah, they're anti-Semitic too. You know that
just
works.
Yeah, just lop them in there.
Yeah,
just lump them in there, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So imagine this. Imagine you're a law student at Harvard.
Yeah.
And you're getting ready to graduate, and you've already sent out job applications and so forth, and you got an offer from a top law firm. I mean, look, Harvard, come on. You're getting out of Harvard with a law degree, you're going to get a top job with big pay. Not anymore. Now you're going to get a letter saying, sorry, we have to cancel. And this has happened to people who were already accepted for employment upon graduation. They're no longer acceptable because the companies – I suppose have senior partners who are Jewish or are influenced by that in one way or another. But basically they're blacklisting law students and saying, I don't know, they might deny them. They can't deny them admission to the bar, can they?
Oh, I'm sure they can do anything.
They could stop them from practicing and from pleading a case in court just because they expressed an opinion critical of Israel in a social media on Facebook or Twitter, or just because they signed a petition or because they marched and carried a Palestinian flag, they don't get a job. Is that it?
Who knows?
You see where we're going with this.
Yeah.
It's going to have real impact. And this is what I call urge overkill. You know, people who are insecure because they know they're liars and they know they're criminals. they're always going to double down on you, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah.
The more you expose them and say, well, this was a lie and we caught you, the more they're going to double down. Man, that's what this 9/11 bullshit. I can't stand it when I hear that. I turn on C-SPAN's Washington Journal or I'm listening to AM talk radio at night. And one after another is saying, oh, this is Israel's 9/11. And if you compare the number of people that we lost on 9/11 to the number of people that Israel lost on November, what is it, October 7th? Is there their
9/11? Yeah, 10/7.
And they're dragging out 9/11 again. And I'm thinking to myself as I'm listening to this, you know, you jackasses, you haven't even looked at 9/11. You don't have a freaking clue what went down on 9/11, but everybody's willing to drag it out and wave the bloody shirt.
Yeah.
And that's what they're doing with this Gaza thing. They're basically saying, this is Israel's 9/11. And if you don't stand with Israel, you're an anti-Semite and you're a Nazi. And it's starting to have an effect because, like I say, law students have been now have been rejected from law firms that had previously accepted them for employment. The university is threatening to take disciplinary action against students who participate in this stuff. And it's because of the pressure, the enormous pressure. It shows you how corrupt the major universities are.
Yeah. Beholden.
Right. Not the community colleges so much. But, and remember also, a lot of the big universities, their sports franchises, usually their football team or their basketball team is their big moneymaker, right? But that's not enough. A place like Harvard or Yale or Cornell, yeah, I heard this happened at Cornell as well. They're cracking down on dissent. Now, you know, I remember the Vietnam War, and yeah, there was some suppression of dissent, but not on the campuses mostly. Not on the campuses at all, really, because most people on the campuses were against the war. Faculty, administrators, everybody was against that Vietnam War. But this is really, to me, I think it's unprecedented, except unless you want to look back at the McCarthy period in the 1950s. You know, a lot of people who signed the wrong petition or went to a meeting that happened to be run by a communist front group.
Well,
a lot of them got
Oppenheimer had that in it.
Yeah, well, he actually, now I don't know if he, I think he may have been a member of the party at one point.
Yeah, the way they implied it. That was a part of the movie.
But his wife was, and members of his family were,
yeah,
of course.
And his girlfriend. That was in the movie, too. That movie was all over the place. It was really looking for something to talk about. It really didn't dwell on the fakery of the Manhattan
Project.
Did
Christopher Nolan do this?
Yeah, Christopher Nolan, yeah. It was a 3-hour movie and
oh my god, a marathon.
That's a long time to sit in the theater. I stayed awake. Right. I was surprised. I stayed awake, but it was all over the place. The movie was all over the place.
Did they really develop the character of General Leslie Groves, because he was sort of the real brains driving this thing?
Was that Matt Damon? I don't even know who was who.
Well, the general who recruited Oppenheimer.
Yeah,
and
I think
the others,
so.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was Matt Damon. I was too distracted thinking, oh, that's Matt Damon.
That's what happens when you typecast.
Yeah.
When they bring in a big name star instead of an unknown. It's better sometimes to bring in an unknown.
I think it was Matt Damon. I don't know. I don't know my stars. I'm not a star effer, so I don't know who's who sometimes.
Well, you know, the blowback against people who had been left-wing radicals or associated with communists, that didn't really show up until after World War II, at the end of the war, when our alliance with Stalin and the Soviet Union broke up and the Iron Curtain fell across Europe, 1948, right around that period. And then on into the 50s, you had this, which they're called witch hunts, against professors, Hollywood writers. A lot of Hollywood writers got blacklisted and couldn't find work, supposedly, like Dalton Trumbo. He's a famous case. And you had the Hollywood 10 who were subpoenaed to come before the Congress House Un-American Activities Committee and rat out their friends and all that. That, if we get into something like that this time around with this Israel-Palestine business, oh my God, that really could, I mean, listen, one of the things I get into with that Palestine legal thing is who's financing them. And it's the Tides Foundation, right? And the Tides Foundation is the same people who finance Black Lives Matter. And a lot of the same names involved in Black Lives Matter are involved in this sympathy for the Palestinian movement. Now, I'm not saying there aren't a lot of sincere people. I mean, you know, the rank and file, they said there were thousands out there in front of the White House. And I'll bet most of those people are sincerely moved by what they think are wartime atrocities being committed against these defenseless people in Gaza, you know, who are being punished because the Israelis supposedly wouldn't destroy Hamas. And these people, that's all they know, you know. But the leaders, the ones guiding it and the ones directing it and the ones paying for the lawyers, those are the facts. Those are the globalist foundations, right? Drummond Pike, who founded the Tides Foundation in 76, he's one of them. George Soros, who's a Jew, or I guess, technically.
Who knows?
Well, he says he's an atheist, so is he really a Jew? Who knows? Yeah. You know, but the point I'm getting at here is they want to control all sides in this. And, you know, I don't think America can handle a situation where you're going to have riots on the campuses between pro-Zionists, who would mostly be, I guess, Republicans, and pro-Palestinians, who would tend to be mostly Democrats. But I think that's what they'd love to do. I think they'd love to start something like that. And it's going to bite them. It's going to bite them in the ass, because this is one thing I think Americans resent. No one likes to be told they can't express themselves. And no one likes to be told they can't listen to an unpopular opinion. That's what America's all about. That's what was supposed to distinguish us from the rest of the world, our First Amendment.
Yeah.
If these wealthy, powerful Jewish donors try to punish the universities and blacklist students, well, faculty too, there are a lot of professors.
Hopefully they'll backfire,
Oh my God, the blowback is going to be, but you know, they're so reckless they don't care.
No.
I pointed this out about Netanyahu and his clique of gangsters, Zionist gangsters that are running Israel. They don't give a flying rat's ass about all the businesses that are going to be destroyed because there isn't going to be any tourism this season, the season of the Advent, you know, it's Christmas time. Probably the biggest, Christmas and Easter are the two biggest tourist seasons in the Holy Land. None of that's going to be happening this year. It's just like COVID. It's just like COVID. They're going to be destroying all these small businesses. That's what a selfish bastard Netanyahu is. Because if he wanted to pull off a psyop like this, you know, a fake hoax, you know, something that would give him a pretext to move into Gaza like they're doing, they could have waited till after Christmas or after New Year's. They could have. They didn't have to do it now. But I think it's because he's in so much trouble domestically in Israel itself, because everybody knows how corrupt he is. I mean, this is a guy who was caught, I don't know, cheating on his wife and a lot of things. I mean, he's just really dirty.
He is a bum. Hey, let me just finish reading this anonymous donation here, because I won't mention the name. It's anonymous, so I'll just say, it says here, "Dear Mr. Fakeologist, thanks for exposing all the fakery and for giving other like-minded folks a platform to find each other and talk. I do enjoy your interviews with various guests you bring on. Good to discover folks like Lynn, Phil, Rick, Frank, etc. All the best from the Netherlands." And he signs it "The Wandering Monster," which I guess we cannot identify who that is, because we don't know who the Wandering Monster is. So thank you so much for that. So I got another
Wandering Monster. The Wandering Monster. Next we'll get a Flying Dutchman.
Yeah, maybe that's Well, he is. I think he's a Dutch guy. Because the donation was in Dutch. And I get
Gilder?
Yeah.
Gilder, is that
Well, I don't
they
know.
Don't, wait a minute. They don't have the euro? I thought they used
the
euro.
Yeah, they got the euro.
Yeah, they probably do.
I got another anonymous donor. It says just "Hi, Ab." And another one that says comments, "Thanks for providing a platform for all of us to reflect on the nature of reality. Nothing but love." That's another anonymous one. So, yeah, if you want to donate, it can be anonymous through your credit card. I'm not going to read out. It'll show up on my screen as anonymous. So thank you so much for all those donors. And P. Trippa bought me a coffee. He's the first one to buy a coffee on this Buy Me a Coffee app, or is it Ko-Fi? I don't know which is which, to be honest, but I've listed them all on fakeologist.com/donate. So thank you guys for donating. I really appreciate that. And everyone likes to hear Lynn on. Tomorrow we might have Phil as a regular on Wednesday, and Frank comes on Thursday. I have someone who wants to interview me, but he's in Poland. So that'll have to be done on a Sunday because they're 6 hours ahead. And I guess he doesn't want to stay up all night. So stay tuned for that. So we got lots on the schedule these days. In the YouTube chat, we have Mum with Sons, Benton, and Tominoid. And thanks, guys, for joining us on the YouTube. We were we talked to Tim Osmond on Sunday. That was fun. I always like to try and tap into his huge audience. And they're always really good penguins. So. And I know, Lynn, you're a big fan of Tim Osmond, and you, I think, listen to him regularly.
Indeed, I do.
Yeah, very good stuff.
When you bring on a guy from Poland, of course, you've got to talk about Ukraine.
Yeah.
Because I get the impression they're really trying to, that there's a faction that's getting ready to close down this whole Ukraine thing. It hasn't worked out.
Isn't Zelensky whining, saying, hey, over here?
Yeah, and he's also saying that they should postpone their regularly scheduled elections.
Well, he's already banned the opposition parties or something.
Yeah, now he wants to cancel an election. Oh, that's great. That makes him look so democratic. Let's cancel an election.
Yeah, another burgeoning democracy. What a joke. What a fake
and
joke.
I imagine polls are, I don't know how much they're subsidizing this business in Ukraine, but I don't think they want any part of it, really.
Well, I've heard there's a million Ukrainians that are in Poland. So,
oh, yeah, refugees, right. They're getting the overflow of refugees.
And they're getting some pretty good living accommodations. They're getting a guaranteed income. They're getting quite a few things that the Poles aren't
too
happy
with. Just like the migrants here.
Yeah.
Just like the migrants here. Yeah, don't be homeless in New York City or Chicago unless you happen to be a migrant, and then you got a United States government subsidy. But hey,
yeah, I learned about that all through the No Agenda show. I don't really hear about it, but by the way, just
that's the replacements.
Before
the replacement
I forget, there's a couple people that wanted to give you their old computers that are near the Maryland area, but then they're a little reticent because they said, well, if we give them the computer, then we'll have to support it. So they don't want to be on the hook for the support.
No, I wouldn't make anybody do that. But I got to shop around and get something myself. I really do.
Okay. But then they said, well, you're a technical person. You were in computers, so you should know how to do it anyway.
Yeah, I'm not as technical as I used to be. But, yeah, you know, I can manage. I won't turn it down. But I should really get one myself. But
well, they have older. One guy has a computer. It's a Chromebook. And
that's newer than mine. It's newer than mine.
But then
mine won't even load Chrome.
But then Brian in Maryland said, you can go get a Chromebook at Walmart for $99.
You know, let me check that out.
Yeah.
Let me check that. I don't want to see I want to see what you can do with it.
Yeah. Well,
if it's got all the capabilities that we'd need. Because for example, you know, if I were going to use it to plug in a microphone and earphone, you know.
You could do that. You could do that.
You need I would have to have USB ports on it, I guess, right? Because I noticed that the new laptops don't have as many USB ports on them. But I don't know. Maybe I just want.
Well, you know
what?
You only need one USB port, and then you get a what do you call it?
A router?
No, you can get
a router.
It's a USB splitter. So it
a splitter, USB splitter. Okay.
Yeah. So you can have five USBs in one.
In one.
Because they don't all use the port at the same time. So it's
right.
Not, yeah. I thought that was a thing too. And then I looked up USB splitter and I found one that can split it into 5 or 10. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah. The computer does not need to have all of them built in. You can just have one and break it off there. So split it off, I guess, is the right word. It's a hub. Right. Sorry, it's a USB hub. That's the word.
Hub. That's what it's called.
It's a hub. So that's you don't really need to worry about all that, as far as I know. So especially for the printer, I have a printer USB hub because I have a few printers, and most of them don't run half the time, so they can easily share it. Now, my website, Fakeologist, is going up and down these days. I don't know why, so you might not even be able to get on it right now. But FakeoTube is working, FakeoTube.com, and that's where your donations mostly go. So hopefully that's working well. If anyone wants to sound off in the chat and let me know it's not buffering. Oh, Chet says it's working in Seattle, Washington. Thank you, Chet. So that's cool. And, of course, we're on YouTube. We're also on our own radio streams, fake11.com/stream1. All these can be found at fakeologist.com/live, where you find our calendar and you find all the places to listen to us. So Lynn is on. So you put something about what's going on with the Tennessee governor, where I was just in Tennessee. He was flying the flag at half mast when I was in Tennessee. So he's definitely fully signed on to the agenda.
Yeah, I'll tell you what that's all about. You know, that's a real easy one to figure out.
All right.
Now, you know, a lot of people got into deconstructing the videos that initially came out when the event happened in April, I guess it was March or April.
You talk about the Tennessee church thingy?
The Covenant, yeah. Covenant Baptist school, church and school.
Right.
There's a mega church, huge mega church associated with it, and I guess they run a school too.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, when this thing happened, people were looking at things like the shoes. Remember the shoe, the business over the shoes?
Yes.
Two different video clips seemed to show the shooter wearing two different pairs of shoes. And
oh,
there
right.
Was, there
yeah.
Were, yeah, there were a lot of people out there. There were experts on those particular shoes and knew all about them and spotted it. But Tim Osmond seems to think that that was just sort of a red herring that was thrown out there. But because who knows? I mean, the videos we saw could have been CGI from top to bottom, right? They could have all been CGI.
Yeah, especially these shooter videos are so high quality now, aren't they? These shooter video games? I don't play them.
Right. And I remember the New Zealand mosque thing. And that looked just like a video game. It looked exactly like a video game. And there have been a few others too. So, but what people didn't know and what the mass media and the government and especially the state of Tennessee is engaged in is a massive cover-up of a major pedophile scandal at this school. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
And I posted a link to an article by some lawyers on this case. If you look down there,
I have to view more comments. Okay.
Yeah, I have the impression that basically the school was kind of bullied into conducting this drill.
Oh, I see. That's interesting.
Yeah, look at that. I mean, this was such a big scandal. But they're just like, who in America knows that, oh, by the way, this place where they're claiming a crazed mass shooter killed a bunch of people? Well, it was in the middle of a major pedophile.
So you're saying maybe they didn't play ball?
Well, you think about what it means to be compromised, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
that's
people
true.
Can be compromised. They can be busted for drugs. It used to be they could be busted for drugs. People aren't busted for drugs as much now, but, or they can be set up. Or, like I say, if,
Nashville shooting event? I got to look that up. There's so many. It was before the actor strike, I think.
Yeah, I think it was about March or April it happened. I'm pretty sure it was in March or April that it hasn't been that long.
Okay.
But right away, you know, I picked up this information about the fact that there had been a major child molestation scandal there that involved, I guess, members of the administration or the faculty at this school. And there'd been a cover-up, big cover-up of it. And apparently, when this event occurred, which I think was a drill, if there was anything at all happened, it could have been a drill at another school. Like with Sandy Hook, the drill, it turned out, was actually being run up the road at St. Rose of Lima. It wasn't any drill at Sandy Hook itself. Sandy Hook was just a dump. But I suspect that there was a drill at this Covenant school. And I think the reason why, you know, it's like the Sutherland Springs church or the Charleston church shooting. You know, in those cases, the churches were like defunct. They were going bankrupt. And clearly this kind of federal money would really have helped them out. And that was the motive for them conducting drills and being part of a media psyop. I'm saying that there's a linkage here at this covenant.
The only problem is they're saying that this person was a real person, this Audrey Hale, and that doesn't really fit the fakeologist narrative for me.
No, exactly. Yeah. Is it a digital synth or is it a crisis? You know, who is it?
Most likely, yeah, exactly. So does.
But I'm saying that irrespective of whether.
Is this MSM all, Plus, you know, as Tim Osmond calls it, this story? MSM Plus?
Yeah, I think it is that. But, you get into this question of did they really conduct a drill or not? Mm-hmm. Because if you have a drill, that is a real activity that involves real people.
Yeah.
There's crisis actors, there's moulage kits.
Yes.
You know, there's camera guys, all that. Or you could just completely fabricate a story on social media. That's been done too. And, you know, when you look at these, you listen to the interviews with these parents, right away the agenda becomes crystal clear. But the strategy here was to force the right wing to embrace gun control in the form of red flag laws. That's right. What this was all about.
I see.
Right. They don't need to get the left on board. The left is always for gun control and gun confiscation, right? That's one of the cornerstones of the Democratic Party platform now is taking away people's guns. Mm-hmm. So there's never any – whenever you conduct one of these events, you can always get them to come and say, yeah, we need more gun control. We need more gun control. But in this case, by making the shooter out to be a sort of left-wing extremist – That's what they're doing based on this manifesto, which, by the way, we never got to see. And we're being told now that the church itself did everything possible to suppress any release of the manifesto and that the police didn't want to release it either. And that the only reason we're seeing it is because somebody leaked it to that famous legendary conservative podcaster, Stephen Crowder. I've never listened to.
Leaked the manifesto. So there is a document for us to look at.
Yeah. That's why I started that thread because you said you were still eagerly waiting on that particular manifesto.
Yeah, that's right.
That was one of the manifestos we had. We got a manifesto out of Buffalo. We got one out of Jacksonville, right? But we didn't get one out of this major event. And here, as soon as I saw it, I thought, oh, Ab's going to want to see this. We got the manifesto now.
Well, I guess so. But it's all phony baloney nonsense.
Well, here's the thing, though. Look at what they're doing here.
Yeah.
They've got these basically right-wing Christian, right-wing Republican Christians.
Buying into it.
Right, and calling for red flag laws. Because the governor, Bill Lee, right out of the box, he's saying, oh, we need red flag laws. Now, do we need to explain what a red flag law is? Basically, the idea is this. It's like being swatted in a way. Somebody on your block sees a Facebook, somebody who knows, sees you posting something they don't like on social media. And they call the police and say, hey, I know this individual. They're kind of crazy. They might do something crazy. And I think they own guns. You ought to check them out. And of course, you know, if there's somebody in your family, you don't like the idea that they have an in-law you don't like, who's got too many rifles or, you know, maybe he's got an AR-15 with a bum stock on it. I don't know why, but now you can, a red flag law. And I want to see, look at the details of this, because I wonder if they can actually do this without a warrant from a judge, whether they can send, because that's, I think, what they want. They're claiming that it just takes too long. That if you've got crazy shooters out there, like this Nashville shooter, who had all kinds of guns, right? Had like two or three different guns. It would just take too long to go through the normal judicial procedures to have this person, you know, forced to see a shrink and have their firearms confiscated. You couldn't. It's just too much trouble to use due process and get a judge to sign a warrant for this. So we need these red flag laws so when anybody who on the drop of a dime can call the cops and say, hey, you know, I got a neighbor in this neighborhood who's crazy. I see him. He acts out all the time. And I he's always talking about his guns. And I think you need to check this out because I think he's going to do something. Right? That's what they want. And lo and behold, who do they have jumping on board with this now? Not just the leftists, not just the Democrats, but the right-wing Republicans that were supposed to be protecting your Second Amendment rights. Wow.
This manifesto came out yesterday. Yeah, you're right. You're right on the current event here.
Yeah, and here's what was most significant to me.
It doesn't look, if I can imagine, a girl. Is it supposed to be a girl or a boy?
Well, we're told that this was a girl who wanted to be a boy.
Oh, okay.
Or who was transitioning to be a boy. That's what we're told.
Yeah. Okay.
Audrey Hale is the name. Is that right?
Yeah. Well, this just reinforces the myth.
And here's why I think they're hunting big game with this.
Okay.
The Covenant Baptist Church is, of course, is associated with the Southern Baptist Convention. Let me give you a little history here. Of course, Baptists have been around since the 17th century in Europe. And what mainly characterizes Baptists is they only believe in two sacraments, baptism and communion. And they have other beliefs. Depending on which branch of Calvinism they belong to, they either believe in predestination or free will. There's one school of thought in Baptist Christianity called Arminianism that basically says, well, you really have free will. It's a little softer. But the hard shell Baptists, they think God's already predetermined everything. Well, you know, the Southern Baptist Convention came into existence in 1845 because of a split in the American Baptist Missionary Society over the question of whether slaveholders or people who were engaged in slavery in the slave trade should be Baptist missionaries. Baptists in Massachusetts and Pennsylvania and New York said they didn't want this. It was giving the society a bad name. But the Southerners disagreed with him. And in 1845, they split away from the National Baptist Organization and they created the Southern Baptist Convention. Then when the Civil War broke out, the Southern Baptists, of course, sided with the Confederacy because it was clearly God's will. It was God who ordained that the African races, who clearly are inferior to the white races, should serve them as their servants and handmaidens, because this is what God ordained in the book of Genesis from the story of Noah. Are you familiar with this particular piece of the Bible? Do we want to get into the Bible here?
No. Do you want to hear big fat Alex Jones? He's getting fatter on this.
Who went in to the little Christian school. Ladies and gentlemen, Alex Jones here with breaking news that the power structure and the Justice Department has tried to suppress. The Nashville shooter, the trans woman demand, who went in.
So Alex Jones isn't calling it fake. He's going right along with it, isn't he? So
he's not calling it out.
No. Well, he's no use. He's no use to us. So I don't even have to listen to what he says. And this is the beauty of being a good skeptic, as Tim Osmond
said. What a blowhard. He's like a little Trump.
Oh yeah. He's
a fat blowhard. Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like he look what he could be saying. He could be saying, hey, folks, we don't really know what happened here. Or
no, he's been shut down as calling things fake. That was the whole thing about the charging him operation. Where he flipped,
well, what happened with Crowder is in. Mm-hmm. Yeah, what happened with Crowder? Why did they pick? There are a couple things I was looking at here. Oh, let me finish this business about the Southern Baptist Convention, because.
Okay.
They currently, and the thing is, because they sided with the Confederacy in the Civil War, and indeed preached that the South was more morally righteous than the North. You know, the North was secular and urban and cosmopolitan.
Right.
But the South were God's people, and God ordained slavery. You can read this in their speeches and their letters. People say, why did all these poor Southerners enlist to fight, and they didn't own any slaves? Well, because their ministers and preachers stood up in the pulpit and told them to.
Right.
Everywhere. And the Southern Baptists were a big part of this. Now, you would think, and their counterpart in the North became the American Baptist Association, That wasn't what it was originally named, but it ended up becoming the American Baptist Association. Because a question I always had was, well, after the Civil War, you know, Lincoln was talking about binding up the nation's wounds and healing us and reunifying us. Wouldn't you have thought these Christians, these Baptists, these Bible-believing Baptists would have reunited in a single Baptist congregation? Oh, no, no. Because the Southern Baptists, there was no way they were going to accept blacks into white congregations. They were essentially, in those days, forcing the blacks to form their own churches and their own congregations. And they were never a part of the Southern Baptist Convention until the 1960s, really. It's very late. So why do I go into all this excruciating detail about this cult called the Southern Baptist Convention? Well, for one thing, it's the second largest Christian denomination in America after the Roman Catholic Church. Mm. You're looking at a single group of Christians who are the greatest in number. The first would be the Catholic Church.
Are they Zionists?
Oh, the Southern Baptist Convention?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, they're fanatical Zionists. Oh,
okay. Well, that explains
a lot. They're fanatical Zionists, yeah. Even though we're told.
Oh, there's a Baptist church in Palestine, right? That guy.
Right. And we're also told that that the hospital that was hit is called the Baptist Hospital.
Right. Yeah.
So, you know, now politically they're lined up with the current Speaker of the House and all these people that are saying, I got to give the money to Israel no matter what, you know. And the thing is, the Southern Baptists, if they haven't learned by now to stay out of politics, they never will. But what did they do? Right away, they jumped on board the red flag law thing and said, yeah, we got to have these red flag laws. The only way we're going to control these crazy people and make sure they don't have guns is with red flag laws. So here's the Southern Baptist Convention, this huge cult, and I am calling them a cult. Just as I would call the Roman Catholic Church a cult.
And the Scientologists, and the Jehovah's.
And the Scientologists, right, and the Unification Church,
and the Mormons.
Elizabeth Clare Prophet, you know, and that whole crowd around General Mike Flynn, you know, they're all cultists. And I feel like, you know, I wouldn't be, if people are saying, oh, you're taking a cheap shot at these Christians. We're Christians. They're not Christians to me.
Right.
I mean, officially they are. And
they identify as Christians, but they're not.
Oh, yeah. And more than that, they're so self-righteous. You never met anybody as self-righteous as Baptists. But these are the ones who get caught up in these child molestation scandals. And that's what happened at Covenant Baptist School. Big scandal over that. And but we haven't heard anything about it. And it leads me to believe that they were induced to participate in this effort to advance red flag laws, and in particular, to force the Southern Baptist Convention into the position of having to endorse red flag laws, and to force the Republican legislature of Tennessee, I think it's Republicans dominate the legislature,
yes,
there, and the governor.
It's a red state, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, a red state, and it's for red flag laws.
Right.
There you go. Hey, any of you out there that still believe conservative Republicans care about the Second Amendment? They don't give a flying rat's ass about your Second Amendment.
No,
they're red flag.
It's the party. It's the uniparty. Yeah, it's one party.
Yeah, the uniparty. And Trump. Oh, Trump was really pushing red flag laws. Every time there's one of these events, a mass shooting event, Trump will come out and say, we need red flag laws. We can't wait. If people see something, they got to be able to call the cops and tell the cops, and, you know, bring this person in and confiscate their gun. This is what Trump is for.
Let's try and decode it. What is the main statement in the manifesto? Want to kill all you little crackers. Can you break that down for me? What are we talking about here? Are crackers
white
people?
Well, it's saying, yeah, it's like she's saying, well, I hate white people. Right. Right. I hate white people. You know?
And she's like, white.
Wouldn't it be nice if we found out that this Audrey Hale person was a real individual? And it'd actually be one of the victims of this child molestation scandal with the school. But I don't, you think they'll pull that? Do you think they'll spring that one on us? They'll say the motive for the shooting was that this was someone who was sexually abused.
Do you think young people, I don't believe any of this story, but do you really
no,
think
I don't either.
A young person would have a spiral bound notebook and actually writes in a notebook? I mean, from all I can tell, the young people today use their phones for everything, including making notes and whatnot. I can't believe this is whoever wrote this PSYOP is 25 years living in the past. I don't think
whoever wrote that PSYOP is probably a baby boomer.
Exactly. They don't write like this. Nobody uses a spiral bound notebook.
Right. And I don't think anybody uses that kind of rhetoric either.
Yeah. You
not
just,
really.
Just look at it. It's just it's ridiculous.
But wait a minute. Alex Jones wouldn't call out the manifesto or Tranifesto, whatever you want to call it.
Tranifesto.
Would not call
I like
it out.
That. I like
Tranifesto.
That.
Yeah. Would not call it out as fake.
No, that's the whole thing. He's.
How does he know who wrote it? How the hell does he know who wrote it?
He's right on board. Alex Jones is sad. He's a
what
sad.
What a scum.
He's a
what
sad
a
individual.
Trash. So what he's doing is, in effect, is he's lending credibility to those people who want these red flag laws. Because that's
course.
The agenda.
Of course, of course. He's, yeah.
And
he
just say,
he's giving
yeah, well, we have people on S. Yeah, he'll say, oh, we have people on drugs, on SSRIs, and they're emotionally disturbed, and we need to regulate them, and we need to monitor them, and we need to...
And that's what the no agenda goes for. They're the ones that... So they wouldn't call it out either. They wouldn't dare. I mean, it's so obvious.
You know, it's a funny thing with them. I listen to them, and it's like they got one foot on the dock and the other foot on the boat.
You got that right.
And the boat's drifting away. Because it's pretty clear that John C. Dvorak really suspects that all these things are fabricated.
Yes, he said a
really
bit. Yes, yes. They won't go there, though. And why do they pussyfoot around the whole
because they're
moon landings
shit. I'll tell you why.
Are they going to lose their audience?
Exactly why.
They're going to have an
Steven
audience
Crowder.
Like mine, five people.
Steven Crowder, and that's an interesting question. Who decided that they were going to use Steven Crowder to put this out there? And by the way,
I barely
all the
know
usual.
Who he is.
Exactly. And the other big parasite who jumped on this right away is Tim Pool. Another one who I don't think I've ever listened to him more than a minute or two. What a creepy character. And, he's always pushing the Civil War thing. Civil War, Civil War, Civil War. So you see the usual suspects pop out, right? Alex Jones, Tim Pool, Steven Crowder. But if you want to understand who Steven Crowder is, just go look up Owen Benjamin. Because Owen Benjamin was Steven Crowder's right-hand man. He was number two to Steven Crowder for maybe a couple of years. And the reason why he split with Crowder, well, there are a lot of personal reasons. But one of the things that Benjamin indicates in that interview that I posted a link to in the thread is that when he wanted to talk about things like Apollo was a hoax, we didn't really walk on the moon, or is the Earth flat, or, are there crises? Whenever Owen Benjamin wanted to create a skit or a presentation having to do with these edgy issues, he was told by Crowder, quote, we don't go there. That's not a subject we talk about. We don't talk about 9/11 being an inside job. We don't do that here. So right away, Crowder knew what the rules were, whoever was imposing them on him. Because after all, this is a guy that was offered millions of dollars to work for the Daily Wire, which is a Ben Shapiro operation, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's another real low.
Candace Owen or whatever her name is.
Well, actually, Candace Owens is now got into a fight with Candace Owens does work for the Daily Wire as well, but she got into some kind of drama with Crowder, back and forth accusations. I don't really care what it was about because all these people are gatekeepers, really. But Owen Benjamin just explains Crowder is a guy who's there to maintain the guardrails and be a gatekeeper against any discussion and especially conspiracy theory. Crowder would say to Owen Benjamin, no, that's conspiracy theory. We don't do that. We're not going there with this show. And finally, Owen Benjamin, these are all the subjects that Owen Benjamin wanted to make jokes about and talk about. And so he left at a certain point. Although he does claim he kind of got cheated by Crowder. I don't know what all that was about. That's more of that, industrial drama that goes on among these people. But yeah, Crowder is a real scum. What do you want me to say? But isn't he lucky that they decided, hey, who are we going to hand this to? Do we want to give this to who do we want to give this expose of this manifesto that everybody's been waiting on the edge of their seats to know what was motivating this crazed shooter in Nashville. Why don't we give it to, let's give it to Alex Jones. No, we can't do that.
Yeah.
We got to find somebody who's not banned, who's not, you know.
One of the comments here was, release the manifesto of the guy that shot that TV reporter on the air. Do you remember that one way back when?
That was in Roanoke, Virginia.
Right,
and
right.
Boy, was that a goofy thing, because it turned out, the guy says, oh, yeah, this was my girlfriend, and we were going to get married, but it was clear that this guy was so gay. You know what I'm saying? Oh, if you ever watched this video.
Yeah, it was crazy. You know, here it is. His name was Bryce Williams. This is this one here. Somebody said, please release this manifesto.
Yeah, right.
Was she supposed to be
The shooters?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, in that case, the shooter was African-American, supposedly.
Yeah, black guy, and she was a CBS reporter. This is another first-person video kind of looking thing.
Yeah, but it was her alleged boyfriend, who also worked at the station, who really told the story, right? He was the one they interviewed. He was the one who showed a picture, you know, standing there with a picture of her. And, oh, we were looking forward to our life together. It was just such bullshit.
Great story. Not.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. Oh, he has a... Oh, on August 27th, 2015.
Oh, and he's running for office.
He had a 23-page rant. Wow, that's a big one. So he had a manifesto. Never mind.
What was his alleged reason for shooting up the TV station?
I don't even know.
Well, the boyfriend...
Oh, he faxed
it
in 2015. Okay. They were still using...
Yeah, the boyfriend ended up running for office. Did he get elected?
I don't even know. I barely remember this one, yeah.
Yeah, I forget what his name is. Chris something or other. Yeah, he announced he was running for the Virginia State Legislature to help pass gun control laws in memory of his lost fiance, right?
Yeah, yeah. Flanagan. The guy's name was Flanagan?
Is that his name?
Vester. Oh, his name was Bryce Williams / Vester Flanagan. What is going
on here?
Well,
that's the shooter.
Here?
That's the shooter.
Yeah.
But what was the boyfriend's name?
We have just learned that Vester Flanagan, a.k.a. Bryce Williams.
Williams, yeah.
Posted on his own Facebook account, GoPro video of the shooting itself. He apparently, if he is the person who shot this, posted a video of the shooting. And he also tweeted out that Allison Parker, the victim, one of the two victims in this case, had made racial comments about him. So this may solidify police are searching this person, searching for this person at this time. But again, it seems to indicate that there may have been some kind of motive behind this, and also that this Mr. Flanagan actually posted video that he took himself of the actual shooting. That's what we were trying to confirm. We just did.
Oh, brother. Boy.
No, was Flanagan himself shot by... Or,
honestly, I can't even remember. I don't want to...
Did he commit suicide? Because remember, in the case of Nashville, we don't have no trials necessary. This is Scooby-Doo justice again, because they shoot the... Oh, they're making a really big deal. The biggest thing that they keep saying about this Nashville Covenant School shooting is that this was unlike Uvalde... Right. The big complaint about Uvalde was that the police stood outside for about an hour and didn't do anything.
Like a drill.
But here the police, you can see the police chief going on. Oh, there's a video of the police chief boasting about what a great job his officers did and how they responded immediately and they killed the shooter. And, you know, so, hey, Scooby-Doo, no trial, no real investigation. Let's just publish the manifesto.
It's another Tim Osmond concept. Scooby-Doo justice. Everything is solved in an hour or half an hour.
Which really insults the intelligence of any thinking person, right? But then again, on 9-11, on that very day itself, you got Ehud Barak, the former prime minister of Israel, going on the BBC and saying, oh yeah, this is Al-Qaeda, definitely. It's Bin Laden and Al-Qaeda. That same day, like within an hour of the planes allegedly hitting the towers.
Well, there are many people singing from the same songbook on that, weren't they?
Yes. Yeah. And to tell you the truth, Bill Cooper and Alex Jones both predicted.
Yes, I was gonna
that there
say
would
that.
Be a false flag event that they would blame on Bin Laden, because what was happening at the time was supposedly Bin Laden and Al Qaeda were blowing up our embassies in Africa and attacking the USS Cole, which was a battleship or distress a U.S. ship, and Osama Bin Laden was this most wanted, most wanted, FBI most wanted. And here's CNN sending Peter Bergen to go interview Bin Laden in his cave in Afghanistan. And as Bill Cooper pointed out, how stupid do they think we are? They're claiming that this guy is the most wanted terrorist in the world. And here CNN doesn't have any trouble finding him. And I listened to an interview with a British couple that claimed that they were up there to interview Bin Laden as well, to do a story for, some European publication. And they said he was being guarded by British SAS, Special Air Service commandos. British troops were guarding and protecting Osama Bin Laden. That's what they said at the time. And that's all the way back right after 9/11, all this was revealed. So, yeah, people say, they talk about predictive programming, but anybody who was paying attention to the New York Times or the Washington Post knew they were building up this Bin Laden character, building him up and building him up and building it up as a threat. And so when 9/11 happened and they blamed it on Bin Laden, we said, oh, God, that's what they've been doing all along. They were planning this. But most people are so fucking ignorant. They never heard of Osama bin Laden until 9/11.
No, that's
they never
true.
Heard of Al Qaeda until 9/11. now I know. They didn't know jack shit. And thinks, so people look at it and they say,
Thinks 101 is saying the quality of manifestos has declined in recent years. Going from Ted Kaczynski to Aidan Aubrey is a pretty heavy decline. Yeah, I agree.
I agree too, because I think Kaczynski's, if he really wrote the Unabomber Manifesto, I do think it's written much better. And it actually has a lot of interesting ideas in it. I don't think it's such a terrible document.
No, I think it was a good prediction.
Yeah, the future of industrial society. Yeah. He predicted a lot of stuff, the future of industrial civilization. Yeah, industrial society and its future. I think
all the planners have been planning for this day for a long time. And it really is just, the automation of society is wiping out so many jobs, and you have to have a plan. What are you going to do with all these people if they keep reproducing? So number one, get them to stop reproducing. And number two, the ones that are left, let's just kill them off slowly.
Idle hands are the devil's playmate, yeah, or something like that.
Exactly. Yeah, so they needed a plan. What are you going to do with the people? Because the people are being replaced by automation at a very rapid rate. I think it could happen a lot faster. I think they're holding it back, to be honest. I think a lot of jobs are just being held, but they could easily be replaced if they just accelerated the technology and released a lot of the technology. I really think they are just holding it back, personally.
Was the COVID lockdown in some way intended to reveal that?
Well, for sure. They needed to create a biosecurity setup so they could corral and quarantine people and just stop. Yeah, I really believe that was just 9/11 was there to set up the security state with the Homeland Security. And this is just the next level.
Biosecurity. Yeah, that's what James Corbett argues in his.
I'm all for that. Yeah.
Yeah. He has a very pretty decent video. It says from 9/11 to COVID. Yeah. Homeland Security to biosecurity. That's exactly how he puts it. Yeah, he says basically 9/11 was a dress rehearsal for the COVID.
Well, it's just another step. I mean, it's incrementalism. The Fabians are, I love the Fabian socialist logo. What is it, a tortoise and a hare or something?
It's a sheep. It's a wolf and wearing a wolf in sheep's clothing.
Right.
A wolf wearing a sheepskin, which is kind of, sheepskin is a colloquial term for a college degree, right? For an advanced degree. So that has a lot of meanings,
But basically they go slow and they bring in their plan over time.
Right. Yeah. As opposed to the old Bolsheviks who would at least come out in the open and say, hey, this is what we want to do. And if you don't like it, we're going to overthrow you.
Yeah, you're right.
You're right. The Fabians are slicker. Yeah. They're a lot slicker.
Yeah. The wolf dressed up as a sheep. Yeah, that's it. That's it. That's totally it.
Like Ted Nugent said, you know, when he was asked about the vaccine, and he said, you know, I want to address all you people out there. And that was early on. That was when they first announced it.
I love that.
I want to address all you people that ran out to get this shot in a language that you'll understand. Meh. Yeah, that was really good.
I got to find that. That's probably
a classic. Yeah, that should earn him a place in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, I think.
Yeah, I gotta find that. He has so many quotes. They go to him all the time.
I was really disappointed in the Southern Baptists in the sense that, obviously, Bill Lee, the governor of Tennessee, he really didn't have any choice. He was probably cornered on this. But the Baptists could have said, hey, you know something, we don't want to touch the gun control issue. We're not going to take a position on it one way or another. They really, you know, the safest thing to do is not say anything.
To the people who believe it is a worthwhile vaccine and it is saving lives, are they just dead wrong? Are they been fed a line from the federal government?
Tim, I appreciate the opportunity to speak to the people that went ahead and got the jab. I speak their language. I would speak to them thusly.
Teddy, you're too much.
They understand that.
Well, so all these millions of people that got the shots, they're just stupid?
Yep.
Yeah, I like that. I like that.
What else can you say? They're gullible. Yeah.
They're gullible. They suffer from mind control. Well, let's close it out at that. That's a pretty good. I was going to ask you before we closed out, we keep hearing about something big in the next 90 days. Have we just heard this all the time, all before? Another big one.
Is this like more numerology or why the next 90 days?
I don't know. 90 days. I just read that. So they.
Well, let's think about this in 3 months. So that's going to be when? Well, after the new year, right? When would that be? That'd be.
Well, they said within 90 days. They said within.
Oh, within the next 90 days.
Yeah.
Something, a false flag event.
Something.
Well, you know,
something
they're always
big.
Looking for something.
They're always looking for something.
Will it be in Seattle? For some reason, Seattle seems to be the. You know what I mean? Everybody thinks it's going to happen in Seattle for some reason, right?
Well, that's Tim Osmond, and
I know he's preoccupied with Seattle. But,
I know. I don't think. Let's see if I can. Yeah, I might. Here's one guy. Something big in 90 days. I don't know what it is. I'm just reading this here. This is on the Twitter. Is Twitter still the best place to look for trends? I don't even know. I've kind of got off Twitter.
I guess the question is, how long are they going to crank out this Gaza business? Because, you know, what happened to climate change? You know what I'm saying? they got to bring more climate. Oh, Gaza happened because of climate change. You know what I'm saying? They can't forget climate change, can they? They can't let that go.
Well, they just push it down a bit. They push it down. They'll bring it back up again.
Yeah, to me, Gaza is just like Lahaina. It really is. Prime waterfront property, what they call underperforming real estate. It's just not making the money it could be making.
And did you hear about the Ben Gurion Canal they want to build? Did you hear that video?
Oh, yeah. And by the way, I may have posted a link to this as well.
Yeah.
Boku oil reserves right off the coast.
Right, lots of oil.
And there's going to be an argument about who gets that. I mean, the Egyptians are going to want a piece of that, right?
Sure, yeah.
You know, it should have been belonging to the Palestinians, you'd think, right? I mean, this should be the oil that helps finance them, you know, rebuilding their...
I think they've moved most of the Palestinians already. I really do.
You think they're out of there?
I think they're already out of there, personally. I think they're just going to drag this out for public relations and money and division. I think they're already out.
Yeah, as I say, it's one thing to look at this internationally, where it's pretty clear Latin America, Africa, Asia, Russia, China, they're the Israelis are not looking good on this at all. The Israelis are looking like brutal bastards in what they're doing to the rest of the world's population. In the eyes of I would say the majority of people in the third world, Africa, Latin America, a number of countries recalled their ambassadors to Israel. Like I think Colombia, a couple of Bolivia, some other countries yanked their ambassador. A lot of people are really offended by this, but where the shit could really hit the fan is on the campuses right here in the United States, because what's emerged is a credible pro-Palestinian movement that has significant numbers. Plus, we now have, we have an Arab American population in Dearborn, Michigan. Are they the ones that elected Ilhan Omar?
No, she's Minnesota.
Minnesota. Okay.
That's because of the Somalis. They're
based, okay. There's the Somalis, right? And then that's right. That's in Minneapolis. And then I think Oklahoma City has a significant
lots of Syrians in Dearborn though. Lots of Syrians. Yeah.
Right. So but what I'm saying is they're now.
Yeah, I think they'll bring in the Palestinians to the Detroit area for sure.
Yeah, that'd be good for them. Wouldn't they rather be there than in Gaza? But the thing is, there seems to be a real concern inside the Democrat establishment that the Democrats are going to be split right down the middle over this. You're right.
More politics. Enough politics.
Blue pill politics, you're absolutely right. Because are those votes counted anyway? But it could hit the streets. I mean, I saw that demonstration in front of the White House, and that was pretty big.
It's big all around the world.
The Zionists are freaking out about it.
They got a plan. You got to figure. They got a plan, though. Don't worry.
Yeah, you're right. They do. They always got a plan.
They got a plan for that, too. They're pretty good at orchestrating all this. Okay, Lynn, thanks a lot for joining in on your regular Tuesday, the Lynn or Tell Show. And we always appreciate Lynn. Maybe next week she'll have a new Chromebook as she goes shopping at Walmart. $99 bucks for a reconditioned one.
Yeah,
maybe. Maybe. And I know you're going to get a mic and a headset.
I already got a mic and a headset.
Oh, you're ready to plug it in.
Once upon a time, I got all that stuff,
Oh, beautiful. Okay, well, that's
perfect. I got what's called a snowball mic, one of those big snowballs.
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah, that'll be good. That'll be excellent. Yeah. All right, Lynn, thank you so much for calling in. Or I called you, but thanks for calling in. We'll talk to you next week.
See you later.
Take care. Bye-bye. There goes Lynn. Lynn at fakeologist.com. Thanks, everybody, for listening in. We'll be back tomorrow. Fake Nukes Phil may be on tomorrow. I just sent him a message. So maybe we'll get him over. Thanks, everyone, for donating, all you anonymous people. Anonymous is fine. And Pete, Ko-Fi or Buy Me a Coffee, however you want to support. Thanks. And send me a text message if you want text messages for when the show starts. And, thanks, everyone, for joining in. We had a lot of people that came in on the YouTube tonight, a lot of people on FakeoTube. There's quite a few people on the Fakeologist audio, fake11.com/stream1. At least there used to be. I don't know. I think it crashed. Whatever. You can always find us on many different platforms. If you want to listen in to something else after the show, go to ips.monster. He's doing a live show right now. And if we were on the same station, I would just say stay tuned. But he's already broadcasting on his own station. So there's some more cross-pollination. IPS.monster if you want to listen to more of this kind of talk. Fakeologist, auto hoaxology. Thanks, everyone, for listening. We'll see you tomorrow. Take care. Bye-bye. We'll be right back.